You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
So around here, though, it is extremely cold again, and people are having pipe breaking issues, which is, there's nothing worse than that. So patience. Good luck. Tomorrow should be it's going to be cold again. It warms up on Sunday, but it rains. Same thing for Monday. But next week, looking about 10 days into this, it gets back to the upper 40s and 50 on one day. So maybe all this incessant layering and bitching about the cold, which is getting on everybody's nerves. We haven't used the phrase around here, cabin fever, in years. But you can't do anything. And it starts to wear on people. So good luck out there in the world. It's Friday at least. Kids are off. They'll be out of your hair coming up on Monday and back in school to learn something, maybe. So it's cold, but it'll change a little bit. We just covered the news of the day. It's insanity, fire, and fury. But they attempted a cease and desist lawsuit from Trump and the lawyers. And they laughed and said, no, we're going to go on and put it out 4 days early. The book is out, number one on Amazon. They're printing more copies as fast as they can. And poor Sarah Sanders has to keep lying to the press again today. And that should be fun to watch. She's going to be gone out of that gig in 6 months. They just can't keep doing this job. It has to be awful. So if you're going to watch news, prepare to hear nothing but about Steve Bannon, Jeff Sessions, Trump wants him out, it's a new event every moment. Distractions, no, that would be sports. That's good. Tonight the Grizzlies play the Wizards at the Forum downtown. Mike Conley isn't back yet, and on they have, this team is, it's just going to be one of those years. And the guessing about the record and about their draft pick and about all of that stuff and the health of these people going forward. Mark Gasol isn't getting any younger, nor is Mike Conley. I don't know why you would think that they're not going to be hurt, even more next year. They're trying. Mark is playing as hard as he can, I guess. I don't know. I'm just tired of hearing all the never-ending analyzing of these people from these sports guys that don't play basketball, don't know. They just analyze and have all the answers. There are no answers. Let the basketball guys figure it out. Every team has down times. The Tigers are having down times. Tomorrow they have Tulsa at the Forum, 3 o'clock. So that's it for basketball. People have lost interest and are hoping for the best. That's all you can do. Tomorrow there are four NFL playoff games. No, there's two Saturday, two Sunday. And you can watch them. Titans are playing the Bills, right? No, they're playing Jackson. I don't know who they're playing. Who's playing? Titans, Chiefs. That's who that is. And the Bills play Jacksonville. Somehow I'm pulling for the Bills. I don't know why, but it's first time in 17 years that they've been there. So there you go. What else? There's a bunch of other people hurt and out for the season in NFL. The All-Star game in the NBA, which is totally pointless. You can vote on that if you want to on the NBA.com site. Let's see. Tiger Woods will keep playing golf. He'll resume his comeback at the Farmers Insurance Open in San Diego later on this month. And it's almost time for all the tennis events to begin. The Australian Open begins, and Miss Williams, Serena, will not be playing this year. She's getting back in shape after having a little baby. So she deserves some time off and hope she's doing okay with her little child. NBA games, only two last night. Golden State, 124. The Rockets, 114. The two best Western Conference teams. And Golden State played well. James Harden out for Houston. OKC beat the Clippers. NHL, Florida at Boston postponed. Because Boston is a mess. Toronto won, as did Philadelphia, Carolina, Montreal, St. Louis Blues, and Minnesota. That's about it. Emails, mail at drakeinthemorning.com.
We got this one from Richard, who says, talking about that Chappelle special, he came out with two new ones. It's two episodes.
There's two back to back,
You got to watch the whole thing.
One is in a theater setting that was done just for Netflix, and the one that's after it is, I think, in a smaller club in New York or someplace. But the first one, I think, is the most recent. I'm not sure, but it was really good, and I'm going to watch part two tonight.
Rebecca said on CJ Box says, last night I finished the first book in the Joe Pickett series, Open Season. And what a great book, she says. I'm an avid reader, but usually read old classics. I'm trying to branch out and read new genres, and I have the next two in the series ready to go, and we'll be starting those this weekend. So thanks for the recommendation and for everything else you guys do. You rock.
Says, well, Rebecca, okay, you have now been sucked into the CJ Box vortex. Once you read Open Range, you've got to read all of them. And most people that I have talked to who have heard about him on this program have done just that. You read one of them, you meet Joe Pickett, you meet Nate Romanowski, and you have to read them all, and it's not hard to do. There are, what, 17, 18 of them, and the new one comes out in March?
I think so. Vicious Circle is the one you just read.
The new one is in March, and it's one word. We'll find out later. Go ahead.
All right. And next we've got to, Leonard says, I've pre-ordered my Kindle version of the Fire and Fury book. Hope it is fair and balanced with recordings to back up controversial charges and facts. If not, what the hell are we supposed to believe anymore? He also really liked the theme this morning and says, you are a master of your craft, stunning Velvet Revolver, followed by the amazing Patsy Cline.
Yeah.
This morning's theme.
Thank you. Yeah, we managed to get in Patsy Cline, Three Dog Night, Velvet Revolver, The Average White Band, Poco,
Janis Joplin.
Joplin, yeah.
Paloma Faith.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Thank you for noticing. I appreciate it.
David wrote in saying, love the show. Just curious if you guys have any input on Hillary Clinton and Bill's house that caught fire that supposedly destroyed a lot of evidence, which included paperwork and hard drives, etc., and supposedly the Secret Service put out the fire before the fire department got there. What do you think this is all about? I'd looked it up.
I don't know. It's
not much, it turns out. It wasn't their house. It was a building detached from their house where the Secret Service is based.
All I saw was an aerial photograph. There's so much news that you've got to kind of prioritize what you think is important. I will say, though, that just the never-ending divisive nature of, well, everything. Especially news networks right now, as we watch on NBC, Michael Wolff, the author of The Fire and the Fury, which is out and selling out everywhere. I saw that story and I didn't think anything about it, but apparently that person immediately went to a conspiracy thought that they're burning stuff up. First of all, in this day and time, it's unlikely that any actual physical paper stacked up in boxes in the garage exist. It's likely all on the emails. And this morning, I thought it was laugh out loud funny. You know, Fox News yesterday, I watched them to get their take on this mess. And even they were, it was kind of out of line for them to be talking about how messed up this whole thing is, and if these quotes are true. And Michael Wolff is on right now saying that you can, that he has records and proof and tapes of all this. Even they were saying, this is jacked up. This morning at 5:30, I pulled up here, and I had on an AM news talk station. I guess they have one left in town. Wall Street Journal Report is on, and then Fox News plays at 5:30. It's about a two-minute newscast. And so they had just done their first half hour, and the entire gist of the discussion was Trump and the book and this gigantic, mess. The Fox News comes on. The lead story is a new investigation into Hillary Trump. Boy, that's a Freudian slip. Into Hillary Clinton's emails. That was their lead story. They mentioned the mess on the East Coast, and not one word about this cataclysmic book, catastrophic, what the hell's going to happen next. Their lead story was about Hillary's emails and the Department of... who cares? everybody knows that she and Bill have been, you know, dabbling on the edge of being criminals for years and probably are still. They're politicians, aren't they? Is it news? And to totally ignore the Trump thing, it's just once again turning into a comedy and a never-ending satire. It's a Monty Python movie that never ends. Hillary's emails. Now, I don't. If their house burned up, I'm sorry. Build a new one. I'm sure you're insured.
Yeah. Well, it was a detached building anyway. And there was one of the headlines is there was a small fire at the Clinton compound. So of course there's a conspiracy about it.
Which yeah.
Is the way these things go.
Yeah.
Our tech guy Ashley wrote in saying about the meltdown problem with these chips and the software. Says this problem actually runs in the CPU memory, runs in parallel, then uses that memory to run JavaScript on your browser to steal information. And no computer is really safe from this. Microsoft said they're not affected, but then they released a patch yesterday morning, so there's that.
Okay, that's good news, and Ash knows this stuff really well. So if Microsoft has already got the patch out, now, the question is, will it in fact, as some have said, slow down your computer a lot? I don't know. But Microsoft obviously is already on this. So Windows 10, something on my deal last night stopped and it ran in this big update. So your computer is probably going to run that for you this morning if you have Windows. But don't just blow this off because... I have a list here that I'll get to about how to do this. Update your software, it says, seriously. So we'll cover that later on in a bit.
Anything else you want to share with us, go ahead, mail at drakeinthemorning.com.
All right, cool. We'll do a break. Today on the website, Wesley has up some new things at drakeinthemorning.com. You can see the bumper songs I play and the early morning theme set that we play, the new books. The new book by Chuck Box is called The Disappeared.
Aha.
C.J. Box is out in March. He'll be on the program. The new James Lee Burke is out. If you read and don't know about James Lee Burke, you need to catch up. But most of you do. This new book is called Robichaux. It is the 20th or 21st book in that series. And it is remarkable how... well, this man writes. It's hard to describe. The prose, the colorful descriptions of, well, it's all about good and evil and beauty and ugliness of nature and life and people in general. There's some really bad people in this book and then some really good people. This old man has an incredible gift, and he has been on this program with us a number of times. His past three books have been about his mom's family were the Hollands, and he was obsessed with that family and their history. Now, how much of the books he wrote are fact and, you know, what's fact and what's fiction, I have no idea. But he does kind of intermingle both of those. So if you need somebody to look at and read, Jim has a site, jamesleeburke.com, which can show you some more. But Robichaux is a book that I have been reading a chapter of a night for the past week and putting it down. And I may go back and read it all over again before I read the end because something big is coming. So if you read James Lee Burke, that book is out, and I would highly, I'd say go buy it, and there's your weekend right there. Go for it. Back in a moment, dumbasses of the day after this.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.
Hello, it is Friday, which is great. The sun is out, which does not mean it's warm, because it's not. It's 20-ish, something like that. Today, though, it'll be a bit warmer in the 30s, and tomorrow it will be the same, kind of cold. Sunday, it's rainy and warmer, 40-ish. Same Monday, then next week into next weekend, we are in the 40s and the 50s one day, and then 30s at night. So it becomes more tolerable and less necessary to wear 8 layers of clothing. We're all over it. Cabin fever. Everybody's getting tense and snappy, and it's time to get outside and do something. So good luck in your day. Drive safely. Don't worry about the world. It'll all be changed by tomorrow. Every time I see Jeff Sessions on TV, I want to take out my pipe and do a hit of marijuana. Not that I have a pipe. I'm just saying. What a joke. Dumbasses, speaking of Jeff Sessions, let's go on to real dumbasses and drugs. This is a great story. The headline, singer from a clown-themed Iron Maiden tribute band. There's your start. Allegedly smuggled $7 million worth of drugs to Japan. This is written by someone named Andy Cush in the first person. I'm not sure why he did this. Here's how this reads. I'm not a drug smuggler, but if I were, I think I'd probably try to keep a pretty low profile. Good point. You could pretend you're a humble businessman or a guy visiting family, something like that. Or you could use your day job as frontman of a clown-themed Iron Maiden cover band to sneak $7 million worth of cocaine into Japan inside your guitar case. Such was the case of Daniel Whitmore, perhaps better known marginally as Powder Clown singer. The band's name is Powder Clown. What's your first clue? On stage, his name is Dixie Deano, spelled D-I-C-K-S-E-E. That's right. Subtle, moron, who was busted for doing that last month. $7 million in his guitar case. The last place anybody would look at somebody with long hair named Dixie. According to Canada's Global News, Whitmore was caught at Narita Airport in Japan. And they have very, very strict drug laws in Japan. They don't play. Convictions in Japan in similar cases have carried prison terms up to 10 years. They did not report what kind of drugs he was carrying, only that they were stimulants. White powder might be your first indication there. Now, dig this. Here's the best part of the whole thing. Power Clown's official statement on the matter, written by Whitmore's bandmate, Sketchy Clown, has a blend of earnestness and camp that somehow almost as surreal as the story of the arrest itself. Here's what he wrote. Clownery and parlor tricks, whether by him or us, ain't gonna do no good. Even with his voice, the voice of a songbird, and his velvet painting smooth charm, he won't be able to talk his way out of these hijinks, even if he did speak Japanese.
Thank you, Sketchy Clown.
Let's review what we've learned. First of all, we don't need a clown-themed Iron Maiden tribute band. Not now, not ever.
How does that even start?
I don't know. Isn't Insane Clown Posse and Slip not enough?
Yeah, right. Look
that's,
at that.
That's him.
That's him.
Yeah, he's a complete moronic dumbass. My man, $7 million in your guitar case. He tried at least to give him that for balls. Oh, man.
This one isn't nearly as dramatic. Up in Pennsylvania, a guy named Danya Corbett was pulled over by law officials driving one night. He failed to make a signal while making a turn. The trooper there said that he noticed a strong odor of marijuana coming from Corbett's car. He registered Corbett no alcohol intoxication from the breath test, but he failed a field sobriety test and showed visible signs of intoxication, according to the trooper, including bloodshot eyes and a, quote, green tongue consistent with recent marijuana use, end quote.
He ate the weed.
He must have eaten the weed.
Attaboy.
The court has upheld his conviction on this, and he is dealing with a 72-hour to 6-month prison sentence.
Nice.
Well, green tongue. Something else. There's all kinds of food coloring that'll make your...
Well, but eating a bag of weed, probably since it's green, yes, might have helped. It's really hard to top the clown boy, but in Los Angeles, police chases are nothing uncommon. Well, it happens everywhere. This one was especially bizarre. Happened this week involving Trisha Martinez and her boyfriend, Harold Escobar Chavez. After the popo spotted their U-Haul truck that was stolen, they gave chase. Anybody with half a brain would have stopped and just wrapped it up there. But we live in different times with people have that have different brain functions. Trisha, who was driving, refused to stop, resulting in a 2-hour chase. Not 20 minutes, 2 hours. So she's in a car pulling a U-Haul with I don't know how many cop cars behind her, and she keeps going for 2 hours. At least she had the foresight to buy gas. At one point, Trisha and Harold briefly stopped to grab a package from a friend on the side of the road. But they drove off again, running over spike strips and crashing into a truck when they ran a red light. Finally, 2 hours in, Trisha stopped the car in the middle of the road, and they proceeded as they sat there, and the police cautiously, I'm sure with weapons pulled, walked up to the car. These two were sitting there just pouring down some beers and doing drugs as they wait for the officers to get up to the car. So they stop, they're slamming booze and doing dope while the officers wait and walk carefully with guns drawn. Eventually, when they got rid of the booze and dope, they get out of the car. Harold gave Trisha a hug and kissed her. And then police tased them both. They crapped their pants and fainted on the ground. They're now facing charges, aside from the one they received from the taser.
Ha ha.
Well-written, funny stuff. Oh, man. I don't know what's funnier, the dumbasses or the real news. It's really hard to determine that anymore. But there you go. You do want to, it's easy to ignore, I guess, if you choose to, the goings-on in this country's, well, up in the White House and with the president and with the insanity of this new book, which is becoming harder and harder to dispel. Michael Wolff was just on NBC's Today Show. Trump and his lawyers tried to cease and desist. The publisher said, eat it. And which only gave them more pub. The book was to come out Tuesday. It came out last night at midnight in New York. There were lines, and it sold out, and number one on Amazon. So the usual knee-jerk reaction from Trump, which is to sue somebody, didn't work this time. And this portends some ugliness. It gets uglier and uglier. And where it goes from here, who knows? Jeff Sessions is on the hot seat. That's why he pulled this stunt yesterday, trying to rescind federal marijuana laws, and that's not going to go anywhere either. You're talking about years and years of backtracking court cases. In a number of states, 8 or 9 states, pot is legal for use by anybody, and a bunch of other states, its use as medicine for cancer patients, children, veterans with PTSD, on and on and on and on and on. Jeff Sessions isn't smart enough to understand any of this stuff and waste America's time and shows how stupid he is by pulling this trick yesterday, which turns out was nothing but a diversion from the fact that Trump wants his ass out of there and may fire him today because he's really PO'd that Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation. It looks like he's hiding something because, of course, he is. Trump did not want him to do that. So this has been quiet now for 4 or 5, 6 months, but as the Mueller investigation continues and gets deeper and deeper and deeper, the Sessions stuff stands out like a sore thumb. So it would be much easier to blow Sessions off and get somebody new in there and start this again. Somebody with a brain would be a good idea. So that's one of the fun things going on. And then this book, and you can believe what you want to, but it doesn't really matter anymore. There's so much out there that is, it's just turned into a tragicomedy, hour-long TV drama that's happens 24/7 in this country, and it's getting stranger all the time. Haven't seen any tweets this morning. I wonder if we're going to stop that or just keep it up because he doesn't listen to anybody. So who knows? But this book, though, I'm not sure I'm intrigued enough to get it or not. I'm not sure I care.
I don't know. There's going to be plenty of excerpts and highlights.
The top 10 quotes were there were 10 things out last night, and they all follow. I mean, just some kind of a theme. Just the boys sitting around talking, and there are quotes from dinners and things attended by Rupert Murdoch and Roger Ailes and Steve Bannon and Michael Wolff. No one knew who the guy was. He was an unassuming, shaved-headed dude that wore black horned-rim glasses that wrote for the Hollywood Reporter and was he's a half-owner publisher of this website, Newser.com. But nobody really knew who the dude was. So he got this access, and he's taping everything and writing stuff down, and they wonder, you know, now it's a big shock to them all. Well, the book is out. They can't stop it. They won't stop it. And there's no lawsuit in the world that will stop it. So this is going to be in your face until the next insane thing happens. And we have to deal with that. But the other story that does affect you, and those are the ones that we have to, you know, lean on, is this thing about your computer and your phone possibly too. I know that my phone, whether I ask it to or not, run scans all the time and checks the apps and reports back that the apps are all safe and blah, blah. Windows 10 is what I've got. Many of you have the Apple computers. And this story says that almost every computer on Earth is affected by this. Now, these people that are in business, these two companies, Meltdown and the other one, Spectre.
Well, these are the problems. Those aren't companies.
They're the problems. They made this stuff. They wanted it to run fast, and they overlooked the security issues, which are now coming home to roost. This problem has been known by these people for a long time, so much so that back in November, and Intel is also involved in this because they helped produce the chips. The guy that was the CEO of Intel knew about this for months. And in November, before this was to be released, I think next week, dumped $24 million of his stock in Intel. What does that tell you?
That he knew.
He knew that it was going to hit the fan. And so he dumped his stock. Guilty much? So now every computer is affected by this, but we're getting some, some comfort in the fact that Microsoft already has a patch, a fix this morning, which should update automatically on your computer. The fear about that, though, is that it will slow it down considerably.
Right.
We'll see. But it says update your software. That's number one. Spectre is the main threat because it is present in billions of devices. Meltdown appears to affect only Intel chips. So just consider the possibilities of all of these things being screwed up and what would happen. Number three here is wait, watch, and hope. The good news that this one comment that kind of summarizes this was that this affects hackers and those trying to protect their stuff. And hackers would likely go to the bigger fish and not be so concerned about individual people like you and me. The effort to mount this attack is pretty big. This could dissuade hackers from targeting anybody but big fish like heads of government agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, all we need is more hacking of emails in the government. This issue will take time and incur costs to resolve, and these systems that are vulnerable will likely remain in operation for decades.
Right, because it's easy to put in a software patch, and
right.
the Meltdown vulnerability seems to be able to get handled kind of or to a degree with software, but the Spectre especially is deep. It's the vulnerability is there because of the way the chips are physically made. And until you can go in and replace a chip.
How do you do that?
You have to open up your machine and get a chip out and put a new one in. Or just, as this guy said in the CNN tech story, dump it and get something new when these new chips come out, which may be in a few years.
Yeah, well, one story kind of suggested that we should all toss our stuff in the trash and go buy something new. Why? If they're all in the stores and have been there, then they are as affected as your current ones.
Right, they have the same kind of chips.
So how do you replace your software? Do you get somebody to come to your house from the Geek Squad and do it?
That's what these updates are. That's the Microsoft and the other companies sending down updates with new software codes down the internet to your computer, and your computer's installing them.
Can you just imagine what was going on at the offices of these places yesterday? And just trying to figure out how to fix everybody's stuff. Because when you see these headlines that say every computer in the world is affected by this, man, I bet there was some sweating going on and some panic ensuing.
But this is going to go the other way, too. If you're worried that hackers are going to hack into stuff and cause problems, that means the counter hackers are going to be able to track down these people and exploit the same vulnerabilities in their computers, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that may put the big bad guy hackers on pause a little bit, realizing that they've got the same vulnerabilities physically in their machines, too.
You know, last night we noticed at my house that we were not getting any emails on our phones, nor did I have any in my inbox in my office. So my wife, so we said, well, this is weird, because she got nothing from midnight on last night, and I didn't get anything after 12:45. So I thought, I wonder about the timing of this. So we just rebooted the Wi-Fi system or something, and then it all came kind of rolling in. The same time last night, I was watching something on Netflix, and the TV kept going black, and I thought, I wonder if this cold, it hasn't been above freezing for a week, right? Something like that.
Wednesday it got above freezing for a few hours.
I just wonder if all this underground stuff getting so cold begins to affect things like this or not. Or it was just kind of a, strange timing. But anyway, pay attention to your computer and the updates and the things like that. This should do it by itself without being, prompted by anybody. But just pay attention to what you got. And
kind of keep up with this story because it's going to be updated as time goes by.
And don't ignore this. You can ignore all the government stuff you want to, which is also not smart. You should know what's happening in the world. But if you prefer not to, I really can't blame you, because it just makes you mad and sad and scared. But this thing, if you don't have your computer, good God, you want to see some people come unraveled and rioting in the streets, take away everybody's computer and their phone.
Yes.
There was a time, kids, when we didn't have computers or phones like that, and we still managed to survive.
This might be a good time, though, to print off some of those records that you're keeping only in your computer.
Well, I got one of those things on my deal that I guess backs up all that I do. Not that I keep anything on my computer of any importance whatsoever. There's nothing on there that I would be, life or death. So, right. But some folks do, though.
Right. And if you don't want your computer to someday turn suddenly into a brick that you can't get access to anything.
Wouldn't that be a drag? People have warned about this for years and years and years. That the biggest concern, the biggest fear of terrorism in this country is not suicide bombers and that kind of stuff. It's the power grid and the internet. And if they get tampered with and shut down, you talk about panic ensuing. Well, so pay attention to this and make sure that you're backed up and that your phone is safe and all that stuff, because you're apps can borrow stuff from other apps, and they can cross-pollinate and make babies, I guess, that are deformed and messed up. It's a weird, weird thing. Just be careful. We'll do a break and come back. Some stories on the Golden Globes are Sunday. Usually, you know, movie buffs get fired up about this stuff. I doubt that I'll even watch it. Who's the host this year? Seth Meyers, or did I dream that?
I don't have any idea.
We will look at the Golden Globes begin the season. They're the ones that do movies and television. We'll give you the highlights about what's up for the awards. This year will be fraught with jokes, even though it's not funny, about harassment, Harvey Weinstein. That's going to be the theme this year. It'll be a bummer, but they'll make jokes about it and so on. So we'll run that down. There's also a very cool story here about the puzzle of the week that was introduced by a first grade kid in San Francisco. It is blowing up the internet.
Huh.
That is, if your computer works. We will tell you this. Well, it's a riddle. I would never have gotten this. I'm not good at that stuff anyway, but this is really cool. And we're going to talk about that. There is some more entertainment news about George R.R. Martin and maybe a new project from him. And we'll run that stuff down and Golden Globes and all that stuff. After we do a little break and come back, we'll discuss those things in just a few minutes.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.